Springberry, and it is my pleasure to serve this incredibly warm and very generous congregation. Everyone is welcome here. You are welcome here no matter who you are or where you came from before now. You are welcome no matter who you love or what you believe. You are welcome whether you are loving this holiday season and simply flourishing within it, or you want to go to bed until it's over. We gather together this morning to notice with awe those around us. Each came out of their home to wrap us in community. That is a lot of love. Being the youngest in a Jewish family, at least in my Jewish family, has its perks. I get to ask the four questions at Passover. I'm still the youngest, even though I'm a grown-up. So there's that. I get a head start on finding the afikomen. And perhaps best of all, I have always gotten to light the Hanukkah candles. One of my first memories is standing with my family in our darkened living room, taking the shamus, the candle you use to light the other candles, and lighting the candles one by one, adding one each night of Hanukkah. The magic of the candlelight dancing in our window, proclaiming to our neighbors that we were, at least partially, a Jewish household, which in today's day and age feels like a major thing. The miracle of the oil lasting for 8 nights reminds us all to notice the everyday miracles present in our lives. I have always referred to myself as Jew-ish. My dad was born into a Reform family in Chicago's Hyde Park neighborhood. His older sister joined the Chicago Children's Choir, which was housed at the First Unitarian Church of Chicago. One Sunday, she went with her choir mates to church. Much to her surprise, they were putting together a little play of the story of Exodus. And more shockingly, they asked her, the only Jew in the room, to play the part of Moses. A faith where women were invited into leadership and encouraged to show up fully in religious education was a new experience for her. This precocious 9-year-old returned home and told her parents that she did not intend to go back to Jewish day school, but wanted to start attending the Unitarian Church. Her parents, who were more culturally Jewish than religiously Jewish, supported her decision, while her grandmother was a little more skeptical. She took her concerns to her rabbi, and he said to her, "Sophie, they could do a lot worse than the Unitarians." My parents were always committed to sharing both of their family traditions as we were growing up. For as long as I can remember, our family would celebrate Jewish holidays and participate in Jewish rituals. They have always caused me to feel a sense of awe. There is something about being connected to people around the world participating in the same thing that people have done for thousands of years. Honoring our history helps me stay grounded and connected to my ancestors. Each Hanukkah, around my family table, we call to mind the people we wish were around. This year, I want to call to mind the feelings I wish were more present in my life. The feeling of awe that can be so easy for our young people to feel, but often feels elusive to us as grown-ups. How will you welcome awe into your life? Light your candles, plug in your Christmas tree, and notice how the light dances on the wall. In the midst of the busyness of the season, remember to pause and notice those everyday moments of awe.
Each year, on December 21st, the northern hemisphere of the earth tilts as far away from the sun as it can. It stops and slowly begins to tilt forward. That is the winter solstice, And for us, it means the return of the light. People have been celebrating the winter solstice all over the Northern Hemisphere, from Europe to Japan for millennia, and possibly in the Americas as well. Sun gods have been born, died, and disappeared. Lights and fires have been lit and put out. People have worshipped God after God in home and in temples with sacrifices and with prayers. People have partied with all varieties of special food and drink and music. In Rome, the people celebrated Saturnalia from December 17th until December 23rd. It was a huge party with public feasting, gift giving, gambling, and trick playing. Then, on December 25th, the winter solstice on their calendar, the Romans celebrated the birth of Mithra, and later on, Sol Invictus, both sun gods. Even later on, Jesus was given that same important birthday. He was one of many sons of a god born to a virgin, come to save the people. The winter solstice was a good birthday when the church decided around the year 800 to give him one. It had, after all, been the birthday of 8 to 12 Middle Eastern gods or children of gods. The point is, people celebrate this time of year. We've been seeing celebration here this morning. People celebrate across the Northern Hemisphere, and they have done that far back before history began. When I think of celebration, I think of awe and I think of wonder. Why celebrate if there's no miracle, no awe? Why celebrate if there's not something larger than myself? When I started this sermon, the answer to that question, where's the awe, seemed really simple to me. In our winter holiday season, we have the awe of the returning of the light, the awe of the birth of the baby Jesus, and the awe of the miracle of the lamp continuing to burn. But then I was listening to all the holiday songs that were coming across my Amazon playlist, and it was like, All I Want for Christmas Is You, and Wonderful Christmas Time, and Rock Around the Christmas Tree. And then there was Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Where is the sun and the Jesus and the burning lamps and all that? And then I thought about my childhood. I didn't spend my childhood thinking about those things at all. So where was the holiday awe in my life? I was raised celebrating secular Christmas. The sacred texts of my holiday season were Miracle on 34th Street, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and The Night Before Christmas. I loved the stories of Santa and the magic of Christmas long after I didn't literally believe in Santa. In my family, Christmas was all about giving. I was taught that the only meaningful gifts were homemade. My Christmas list was long, with aunts and grandparents and parents and a brother. And I made cutting boards. I made 7 cutting boards one year with the little strips of wood in them. And I spent hours, I mean literally hours, sanding those things. Another year I made aprons by hand, and another year macrame plant holders. Yes, it was the 70s. I love the anticipation of the Christmas season. We celebrated secular Advent. My mother made a felt Advent calendar that she filled with tiny, tiny gifts, sometimes in carefully rolled papers that had the history of Christmas on them. I remember getting a stomachache before Christmas because I was so nervous about what people would think about my gifts. I knew I was getting gifts, but in my life, it was so secondary. Our Christmas was a whirlwind of activity. We spent Christmas Eve with my dad's family, where we had this gourmet sandwich bar. And Christmas morning was with my mom and dad and brother, and there was stockings and presents. And then in the afternoon, we went to my mom's house for a big Christmas, my mom's family's for a big Christmas dinner. My family particularly loved the day after Christmas because we could just lay around and nibble on food. But was there awe? I think I felt awe in myself that I could be such a small person and give such nice gifts. And I did feel the magic and wonder of Santa Claus, and I really believed that animals talked on Christmas Eve and loved that fantasy life. My grandmother's Christmas tree was always awesome. It was piled halfway up the tree with gifts. And then the next day there were more gifts. I was pretty awed by that sense of extravagance. The most important Christmas offer me, though, had nothing to do with the holiday itself, but the time of year. During most of my childhood, I would go to the barn twice a day to milk and feed the animals. And in the winter, it was always dark when I did that. And the stars were magnificent where I lived, sparkling and thick across the sky. And there was always snow in December, and that made the night just glow with brightness. My whole holiday season was wrapped in these walks to the barn. The goats baaed their friendly greetings. I would rest my cheek on their sides as I milked and warm my cold hand on their udders. It felt like heaven. I liked the Christmas message, which I understood was peace and giving and love. And years later, Kris Kringle in the 1994 Miracle on 34th Street said what I'd come to understand about Santa Claus and Christmas. I'm not just a whimsical figure who wears a charming suit and affects a jolly demeanor, he says. You know, I'm a symbol. I'm a symbol of the human ability to suppress the selfish and hateful tendencies that rule the major part of our lives. If you can't believe, if you can't accept anything on faith, then you're doomed for a life dominated by doubt. The awe I experienced at Christmas as a child gave me faith in love. Was there awe later on in my life? I kept celebrating secular Christmas. As an adult, I became less awestruck by the holidays, I'm sure is pretty common. I was the mother of three and then four children. Rituals changed. Christmas became making the holiday magical for my children. We read and baked. I made rather elaborate advent calendars each year. I took the children on special outings to buy gifts for each other. I never made them make things like cutting boards for Christmas gifts. If there was any awe, it was that my parents had been able to make my brother and I make gifts while making their own. My Christmas became about orchestration. Still, there was some awe. When the boys were younger, I experienced the awe of watching them choose gifts for each other and seeing their generosity, and then seeing them open what they most wanted. I also felt a kind of awe when the house was decorated and clean. Maybe it was just the clean. But when it was decorated and clean and there was a fire burning, and I just really always felt held in the dark night, held in this special caption of space that was safe and good to be in, and that felt like awe. I continued to believe in Santa. I was and am awed at all the ways people make sure that Santa appears for children. Like this congregation, for 50 people, 50 farm worker families, we made sure Santa showed up. And for a Whitford Middle School family. And I believe that when people keep making Santa close up, Santa exists. Was there awe? There wasn't enough for me in that adult version of secular Christmas. Even before I started thinking about awe as a concept, I wanted more. In the darkness and the busyness, I wanted the infinite. I wanted magic. I craved a deeper, more spiritual connection to the message of the holiday. The miracle on 34th Street and the story of Santa Claus just weren't enough anymore. Where was the fire and the spark of the season? I walked through the snowy woods with a candle in my hand and stood in a circle in the dark solstice night, welcoming back the light. At the Spokane UU Church, we danced the spiral dance and chanted, welcoming back the light. Then for years and years at the Spokane Church, in a dark sanctuary, a woman's choir sang haunting and life-giving hymns. The story of the solstice was told, We chanted and meditated. We lit candles. We called back the sun. And I was awed. For years on Christmas Eve, after the rowdy upbeat UU services, after the sandwich bar with my family, when it was so late that the cold stung my cheeks and my feet crunched in the hard snow, I would go to the Episcopal Cathedral on the hill for midnight services. The cathedral was tall and stone and awesome, medieval in form. It seemed by its nature to call the mighty, the infinite, God. As the service began, the priest came down the aisle carrying the holy book and waving ornate containers of incense as the organ played. Afterwards, we heard the story of Jesus' birth. We sang, and the choir sang carol after carol. The building reverberated with music. We heard messages of love and justice. At the end, we sang Silent Night. It felt like a prayer for holy nights, for babies, for miracles. And I was awed. So where is the holiday awe? In the secular holiday, awe, I believe, is in people's faces and in relationship. The secular holiday is about families and friends and connecting through gifts or cards or gatherings. And when there are children, it is about the magic and awe of Santa Claus. There's the message that one should be kind and giving. We are called to be in closer and better relationships with people we love and those in our community. We might experience awe in true acts of generosity and in moments where love is expressed. Where else is the holiday awe? I believe it is in churches on Christmas Eve, in the woods or meadows on solstice night, and in the lighting of Hanukkah candles. People act out rituals that express miracles and express what matters. And in these moments, we can feel awe. In Hannah's story, she told us how she felt awed when she lit the Hanukkah candles because she felt connected to all the other people lighting the candles across the world and back through time. She was asked to notice the miracles in her daily life because of the miracles of the lamp. I feel this way during Christmas Eve services. People across the world are acting out the same story that people have been acting out for centuries. And before that, people celebrated another Son of God born in miraculous circumstances on December 25th. We've been doing this a long, long time. The current story, I think, is a deeply human one. I feel a deep affection for the story of Jesus' birth and the songs about it, even though Jesus is not central to my religious life. The story and the music feel holy, important, full of meaning for all of us. It reminds us to revel in the holy night that a child is born. It reminds us to honor the miraculous. It makes me feel part of something larger than myself. The miraculous is everywhere, all the time. And we can notice it in our daily lives by relaxing, letting ourselves pause, opening our hearts, and truly seeing what happens around us. We can notice it in the holidays when families and friends gather and when we exchange gifts and give to make others happy. We can also notice it by participating in rituals that point us directly toward the miraculous. People have created rituals to remind each other what they believe is miraculous for millennia. It's one way human beings remember what's important and what matters. Maybe we create our own rituals that point towards what brings awe. The holidays are full of small rituals, how we put up the tree, what we eat, the cookies we bake, the friends we see. What if we notice what brings us awe and make a ritual around that so it's more likely to happen? Perhaps listen to choral music, go where the sky is dark and the stars are visible, spend time with a young child. Be part of something that ensures that the struggling have something at Christmas. So go forth in this holiday season, go forth into these gray days and long dark nights and seek wherever you go, miracles. For light sparkles, babies are born, and we have the strength to endure what we thought we could not. So go forth and be awed.